The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd today. So excited to be back. Great to work with Grace and Kyle again. Really looking forward to this. Coming up in an hour, we'll be joined by my all-time favorite, Congressman Louie Gohmert. He's just my fave. Also, Hans von Spakovsky, another one of my favorites, will be joining us next hour. And then in the third hour, we'll be joined by Congressman Andy Biggs and by Mike Davis, who is with Article 3 Project. He is the founder of that. Now, we're going to talk about all sorts of different things. We're going to talk about the border crisis, the FBI and the Trump updates, Biden's speech yesterday. There's just a lot on the plate, so it's going to be a very exciting show. I always welcome your calls throughout the show. Hold on, let me turn my cell phone off here in case anyone says. I do have friends who say, I heard you ask for calls, and then they'll call me or text me to be funny. so I'm turning my phone off. 844-747-8868 is my number if you would like to join me here in the Liberty University studios. So the big story, I'm sure everyone's seeing the picture seen around the world, is this picture put out by the DOJ. Of carpeting in Mar-a-Lago, which, by the way, it looks like hotel carpeting, so it may have been like in a more public area. I don't know. Of these pictures, like it looks like a Tupperware box and like pictures of stuff on the floor, and of course they put it out there because, well, you. I'm going to ask you why you think they're doing all this. So what I did, because the DOJ responded, they had until midnight to respond to why the judge shouldn't appoint a special master, which is what Trump wants. And she allowed them, they can have 20 pages, and she allowed them to go over that. They said, you get as many as 40 pages, double. And they came in with a 36-page report, complete with pictures and you know, on the back. It's like Alice's Restaurant. They had pictures of the crime scene with descriptions on the back. And if you're not old enough to know what Alice's Restaurant is, go look it up. So what I did was I took a couple of different news stories, and I culled from each one in order to get the whole story in chronological order, because they jump around. So it was making my head hurt. So I did this work for you, and I put it all in a chronological order. And this is from the Washington Examiner and the Fox News. If they had a baby, it would be this. So last week, you know that Trump's lawyers filed the motion requesting the special master, okay? And they want the special master to assess the records, what the FBI took. Because basically, their warrant was you could take anything. You take anything you want. It's just a free-for-all. Normally, when you get a warrant, it's for something specific that you say this person has, like drugs in the bedroom or you know, guns under the couch, that type of thing. This was just, we think he's got documents, so they were allowed to search everywhere in all of Mar-a-Lago to look for these documents that he shouldn't have. So they took a lot of stuff. They took a lot of stuff. We know they took his passports. We know that they took things that Trump says were privileged information. They had a napkin. There was supposedly a napkin they took. Like, okay. So the lawyers say that it was a shockingly aggressive move. I think a lot of people agree with this. And they made the filing 2 weeks after Trump was raided by the Bureau. And it went before Judge Eileen Cannon in the Southern District of Florida. And she had indicated this weekend that she was leaning towards giving Trump the special master. So the DOJ had until midnight last night to respond to this, and they did. They responded, as I said, with this 36-page document. But what they also did was publish a photo of classified documents on the floor of Mar-a-Lago. And like I said, it had the little container next to it. And they did this as part of the petition for the special master, against the special master, to review the articles. They said, we don't need a special master. Besides, they've already started going through everything anyway. So if there's anything privileged between Trump and his lawyers, they've already had eyes on it. Now, they said they did it with what's called a taint team. We don't know who is on this team, who appoints them. If the FBI and the DOJ are as biased as it appears they are, how do we know those people aren't biased? How do we know that that information is never going to be used later? You know, they could just say, oh, well, we know he's got that there. Well, how do you know? Well, we just know we had a confidential informant. Maybe you saw it when you went through this stuff. So the hearing for the special master request from Trump's team is tomorrow. They can file a response to this response from the DOJ to what they just filed. They have to do it today, though, because the hearing's tomorrow. And of course, the FBI waited till like almost midnight to release this, to give Trump's team the least amount of time possible to respond. Now, Trump has also made a request from the same judge. His team asked that she blocks the government from reviewing the materials that they seized from his estate until the special master is appointed. But since she hasn't done that, they can continue to paw their way through all of this stuff in the meantime. And they said, we are doing that. We're going through everything we have right now, but you can trust us. We've got a special team of people to make sure we don't look at anything we shouldn't see. Now, that image the FBI put out there, is also in this special filing. Okay. Now, I'm a little cynical. I think that this putting out of this picture is just like the previous leaks we heard. Remember how many weeks ago the Washington Post and the New York Times were told that Trump had nuclear codes, right? We heard that. He's got nuclear codes. That story died. This is just what they do. The FBI and the DOJ did this all through Russiagate. What did they do? They leaked out little things here and there, little pieces of information. Oh, the dossier has, you know, Trump with prostitutes, and the dossier has this, and the dossier has that. None of it was true, and they knew it wasn't true, but they leaked out tidbits to smear Trump. Based on past behavior, I look at this picture and I go, oh, they're just trying to smear Trump with this. Any kind of jury pool, if there's any kind of jury for whatever reason in any of this, they have this picture in their head. People are already proclaiming it. Look, he's guilty. There's a picture that says classified. Oh, well, then it must be true. The photo shows, as I said, the dockets on the floor. There's also with this, now some of these documents, you can see where it's marked secret or top secret. That doesn't mean that the president didn't declassify those. The president has the right to do that. But also is a box with a framed copy of Time magazine with Trump on the cover. They took that too. They were like the Grinch raiding the houses when he took the last can of Who Hash. They took everything. Even his personal stuff. They knew there was nothing there, but they seized a framed picture of the front of Time magazine. Why? Why would you do that? Now, Trump's lawyers, before the FBI obtained the search warrant, Trump's lawyers claimed that all of the records from the White House that were at Mar-a-Lago were in a secure storage room on the premises. And we know that the FBI asked them to put another lock on the storage room, which the Trump team says they did. They got the warrant after, quote, the government developed evidence that a search limited to the storage room would not have uncovered all the classified documents at the premises. Now, if that is true, my question is, does the FBI have a mole spying on the former president? We know that they did it when he was president. We know that they were listening in on phone calls. We know that they were doing things they were not supposed to be doing. So would it be beyond the pale to ask if they had a confidential informant within Mar-a-Lago who knew a lot about the president, who knew a lot? So that's where my questions come. From the filing, they say that the FBI, matter of hours, recovered twice as many documents with classification markings as the diligent search that the former president's counsel and other representatives had weeks to perform, calls into serious question the representations made in the June 3rd certification and casts doubt on the extent of cooperation in this matter. Trump's lawyer, Christina Bob, signed the document asserting that all classified material had been returned to the government. Now, again, for all we know, Trump told her, I've declassified this. This is not classified information. And she said, okay. And again, the president has the right to do that. The DOJ argued that Trump, and they put this in the filing, quote, has shown no basis for the court to grant injunctive relief. And they say prosecutors argued the appointment of a special master is unnecessary and would significantly harm important governmental interests, including national security interests. The filing claims that Trump lacks standing for a special master because the records in question belong to the United States, not to him. And they also said that Trump won't suffer any injury without an injunction, and the harms to the government and the public would far outweigh any benefit to the president. Based on how the president's been treated in the past, I think the president needs protection. They've proven that they are biased towards him. They have proven that they have treated him badly. They've proven that they lied. We know they hid the Hunter Biden laptop in order to prevent him from becoming president. Why wouldn't anyone want a special master involved in this? And then it depends on the special master, right? Who's going to get appointed? Who appoints, but I don't know, and maybe some of our guests can answer who appoints the special master. Because how do we know that person isn't going to be all in cahoots with all of this? You want to jump in, 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. Coming up, I've got some of what they found, and more of what the DOJ is arguing, saying why they shouldn't have a special master. And honestly, at this point, I don't know if it matters since they're going through everything anyway. They're just going through everything. So does it even matter? 844-747-8868. More coming up on the Todd Starn Show.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS.
Sitting in for Todd Starnes today. If you want to join me, it's 844-747-8868. We're just talking about the filing that the DOJ gave to the court to protest a special master. They don't want one, and they laid out their argument as to why they don't need one. They said, the filing says that the government's filter team has already completed its work of segregating any seized material that are potentially subject to attorney-client privilege. And the government's investigative team has already reviewed all of the remaining materials, including any that are potentially subject to claims of executive privileges. They also claim that the appointment of a special master would impede the government's ongoing criminal investigation. And then so the left goes, oh, he's under indictment. They're going to get him. Trump's going to jail. And if the special master were tasked with reviewing classified documents, that would impede the intelligence community from conducting its ongoing review of the national security risk that improper storage of these highly sensitive materials may have caused, and from identifying measures to rectify or mitigate any damage that improper storage caused. Then they also talked about his passports, because Trump's like, they took my passports. They said the passports were found in a draw and taken by federal officials before being returned to the former president. The location of the passports is relevant evidence in an investigation of unauthorized retention and mishandling of national defense information. Nonetheless, the government decided to return those passports in its discretion. Aren't they so nice? Isn't that nice of them to do that? Return his passports. You know why they put that out there. You know why they put that in here. Because what are you seeing on Twitter? What are you seeing on the internet and the scum that floats around in there? Oh, Trump had his passports. He was ready to flee. He had it with classified material. He was ready to flee. And I think to myself, yes, that's why he kept it in a Tupperware box in Mar-a-Lago. There you go. And that's why he kept it in the desk drawer. Who would do that? If you had classified documents and you're ready to flee to go sell them to Putin, I think you probably would have a better hidey hole than that, right? Okay. They say throughout 2021, the United States National Archives and Record Administration had ongoing communications with representatives of former President Trump, in which it sought the transfer of what it perceived were missing records from his administration. These communications ultimately resulted in the provision of 15 boxes from former President Trump to NARA in January of this year. Prosecutors wrote, when producing the 15 boxes, the former president never asserted executive privilege over any of the documents, nor claimed that any of the documents in the boxes containing classification markings had been declassified. That the FBI, in a matter of hours, recovered twice as many documents with classification markings as the diligent search that the former president's counsel and other representatives had weeks to perform calls into serious questions the representations made in the June 3rd certification and cast doubt on the extent of cooperation in this matter. They say the National Archives referred the case to law enforcement for two reasons. Evidence that classified records had been stored at the premises until mid-January 22, and evidence that certain pages of presidential records had been, quote, torn up. Now, here's the thing, that he had stored classified information until January 2022. Okay, and this is not whataboutism. This is just about equal treatment under the law. I give you Hillary Clinton, who had them on a server in her home. She has no power to declassify anything. She was with the State Department, right? She was the head of state. She has zero declassification power, but she had it on a server in her home, which she then destroyed. But they're upset because they say certain pages had been torn up, and they had been stored on the premises. Okay, again. Hillary Clinton's bathroom server or basement server. I've heard it was one of those two locations. And James Comey said he chose not to prosecute her because she didn't mean to break the law. Because, you know, they can tell someone's intent. And she said, I didn't mean to do it. After finding 5 documents marked confidential, 16 marked as secret, and 17 documents marked as top secret at Mar-a-Lago, the filing said, counsel for the former president offered no explanation as to why boxes of government records, including 38 documents with classification markings, remained at the premises nearly 5 months after the production of the 15 boxes and nearly 1.5 years after the end of the administration. They added that a preliminary review by the FBI revealed 184 unique documents bearing classification markings, including 67 documents marked as confidential, 92 documents marked as secret, 25 documents marked as top secret. The FBI then allegedly developed evidence that, quote, dozens of additional boxes remained at the premises that were also likely to contain classified information. Okay, who told them that? Do they have a confidential informant inside the White House? Of most significant concern was that highly classified records were unfoldered, meaning not in the folder they're supposed to be in, intermixed with other records, and likewise improperly identified. During the August 8th execution of the search warrant at the premises, the government seized 33 boxes, containers, or items of evidence, which contained over 100 classified records, including information classified at the highest levels. 3 classified documents were found in a desk drawer during the search, according to the DOJ. But Trump claims that he declassified all the documents stored at Mar-a-Lago and denied any wrongdoing. I don't know. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Kind of like Hillary Clinton, who said, oh, no, all that stuff that I destroyed, you know, I just wiped it with a cloth. That thing, you know, the blackberry that I smashed. No. That was just about yoga, you know, because Hillary's such a yoga fanatic. Anybody buying that? If you want to jump in, 844-747-8868. I've got more of this, more of what's in there coming up on the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
In for Todd Starnes in the Liberty University studios. 844-747-8868 is the number. I'm just going through, I'm almost done here, the FBI and the DOJ and this filing that they released yesterday. Trump team has today. They've got to respond. I think I personally think that the DOJ held their response until midnight last night, as close to midnight as they could possibly get, in order to give the Trump team less time to respond today now, because they have to now put, they have to take the 36 pages, because it's supposed to be 20, it's supposed to be short, it's supposed to be 20 pages, but the judge allowed them more, so 36 pages that the Trump team now has to go through, and they have to craft a response to this about whether there should be a special master in order to look over the what the FBI says they took. But by now, I'm sorry, and maybe I'm wrong, I just don't have faith in the FBI and the DOJ anymore. I just don't. We know they're biased. I give you Peter Strzok and Lisa Page as Exhibit A, and James Comey and John Brennan, and you know the rest of the crew. That's just off the top of my head. And Eric Kleinsmith, and I could keep going. And who was it? Thibault, who left, and the other guy who retired, you know, suddenly. Andrew McCabe. There's a bunch of them that we know worked to undermine a president of the United States. We know that they withheld the Biden laptop in order to, they said, not to interfere in an election. Yeah, because they wanted Biden to win. They don't want to interfere in the election because they knew that if they did, Trump probably was going to win. So why should we trust that they've done everything by the book? They haven't taken any of the stuff that they took from the House and spirited it away, and you know, we didn't get that. You know, and I think, and Kash Patel has been out everywhere talking about this, that they were after Crossfire Hurricane, which was the Russian hoax documents that Trump declassified. We know he did. He even tweeted it out that he was declassifying all of that. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to get their hands on that. They didn't want him to have it for whatever reason. Now, maybe they're on the up and up. Maybe they've turned over a new leaf and they see this is their opportunity to finally put Trump in jail to keep him from running for 2020. And I guarantee you this is going to go through the midterm, and maybe after the midterm, when it's all said and done, this will slowly die away. There's going to be nothing to see here and it's going to go bye-bye. Kind of like Trump had nuclear codes. Okay, that, in my humble opinion, is the way it's going to go. And you may feel free to disagree with me if you would like to. That's fine. Okay, so what else did they find? The prosecutors said gave him back his passports. Here's the thing, too. Listen to this. Now, we know in the picture that they put out, there's a picture of from the front page of the time of Time magazine with Trump on the cover, and it was framed, and it was they took it. The filing added that personal effects are not subject to return for several reasons, including that the evidence of, quote, commingling personal effects with documents bearing classification markings is relevant evidence of the statutory offenses under investigation. So in other words, we're not giving you any of your stuff back that we took. The picture, that frame picture on Time magazine, you're not getting it back. Whatever other personal effects that they took of Trump or Melania's, because they were in Melania's closet. They were in her bureau, in her dresser. Anything that they took, they're not giving it back right away because that's evidence now. Because we want to show where, you know, that the documents were next to Melania's, bra or Melania's nightie or whatever. And they're going to trot all of this stuff out in public. This, in my mind, is just meant to embarrass Trump. This is meant to smear him more because that's what they do and that's what they know. And that's what's going on here. If you want to jump in, 844-747-8868. We're going to talk about this more with Congressman Louie Gohmert in about half an hour. Hans von Spakovsky will be joining us in about an hour. And then we have later in the show, Congressman Andy Biggs and Mike Davis, who is the project of Article 3. We're going to talk to them about that, and as well as some other things as well. But I want to just go here to very quickly to Jonathan Turley on Twitter. I should have had this up because that would have been prepared and I did not have it. Okay. So Jonathan Turley says here, he posts the picture and he says, this filing includes this picture, which is being widely distributed. It can, however, leave an obviously misleading impression that secret documents were strewn over the floor when this appears to be the work of the FBI agents. And he says, the picture is attachment F and the textual conference on on page 13 simply says certain of the documents had colored cover sheets indicating their classification status. It's curious that the DOJ would release this particular picture. The point is to state a fact that hardly needs an optical confirmation, the possession of documents with classified cover sheets, which is why I question this. This, to me, stinks to high heaven. This is just something visual because most people don't read past the headline, right? Most people don't read. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Nobody reads. And that's part of the problem. But they know that nobody reads. And so they can just put out pictures and let people come to their own conclusions. And if their conclusions are false, oh well. Jonathan Turley goes on to say the government could and did simply state the fact of the covered pages and would not likely be challenged on that point without the inclusion of this one photo. For critics, the photo may appear another effort with prior leaks to help frame the public optics and discussion. That means me. He's talking to me. The government does allege that classified documents were mixed in with non-classified documents. However, the court clearly did not need the visual aid of a picture of documents with covers to establish that there were such documents. It seems intended for public consumption. And it's fascinating to read the comments underneath. You can definitely tell which way, because it's such a Rorschach test. If you, and I love, for me, it's hard because the left during the Summer of Love, when police officers, you know, were trying to be burned alive inside their police headquarters in Portland, and, police officers were killed, David Dorn for one of them, police officers, security officers were being killed during the Summer of Love. The Democrats told us there was nothing going on. Mainstream media told us nothing to see here. The Democrat prosecutors in those cities dropped the charges against those people. None of them were brought to justice, maybe one or two here or there, but that was about it. Vast majority, there were zero repercussions for their rioting and their looting and their destruction and the assault on police officers. Suddenly, those same people think the FBI and the DOJ are beyond reproach. So they just don't like the local police, but the big government authoritarian police, that they love. That's just A-okay with them. To me, it is so fascinating to see. It's like President Biden yesterday talking about how we need law and order and he's appropriating all this money for the police while Kamala Harris was running around telling people to donate to a fund to bail out the people who were attacking the police. So if you look at any of these threads on Twitter and you follow them, it to me, it's just such a fascinating, like, National Geographic moment, right? Because our views are so biased, I think, without us even realizing it, based on what's important to us. And a lot of it's based on feelings and beliefs, which is scary. We can't craft law and politics based on what we feel is right. To me, it's got to be based on facts, and it has to be based on, law and order. You can't have people burning down cities just because they feel aggrieved. That doesn't work that way. Remember in Baltimore after Freddie Gray, I think it was during the Freddie Gray riots in Baltimore, the mayor of Baltimore stepped back, told the police to give them 24 hours to, you know, get their feelings out, so they could just have 24 hours to vent. 24 hours to destroy minority-owned businesses, to set them on fire, to destroy private property, to assault police officers. You can't govern that way. So that's why I think when I look at this, and obviously I'm very biased, I acknowledge my bias, but I look at this and I go, well, wait a minute, I know what they've done in the past. Why should I trust them now? I'm considering just a healthy dose of skepticism. I can't look at the FBI and the DOJ and say, oh, well, now I'm sure they're telling the truth. It's like if you date somebody and he's cheated on you in the past and he told you all along he wasn't cheating on you and the whole bit, and he tells all his friends that you're the one doing the cheating. Oh, my gosh, she's terrible. She's cheating on us. It's horrible. I want to get rid of her, but I don't want to deal with the problem. I'm just going to keep, you know. And then you turn around and you find out, no, he was the one doing the cheating. You probably wouldn't trust him again, right? Like, would you continue to go out with him? Probably not. So for me, it's the same thing. So maybe I am horribly biased. I probably am. 844-747-8868. We are all feeling the pain at the pump and at the grocery store. I bought graham crackers the other day, $5 for a box of graham crackers. I was shocked. The market is plunging. Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. But it's worse. Seniors are struggling to survive. It is not time to panic, but it is time to act. Todd's friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit, AMAC Action, which takes the challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is so easy. Just go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. AMAC.us/starns. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support great conservative causes. Go to AMAC.us/starns. It's only $16 per year, and great news, anybody can join. Go to AMAC.us/starns. That's AMAC.us/starns. More coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Uncle Tom 2 is the eye-opening documentary everyone in America should see. Todd Starnes here, and Uncle Tom 2 offers a compelling and brave analysis of the true history of Black America, the cultural shift from prosperity, integrity, and faith to its current perceived state of anger, discontent, and victimhood. Uncle Tom 2 offers historical footage, photos, correspondence, and data to reveal the genuine strides of Black America in the 20th century, the deliberate Marxist strategy to create racial tension and replace God with government, and the NAACP's sinister agenda. Don't miss Uncle Tom 2 from executive producer Larry Elder and director Justin Malone with Brandon Tatum and Vodi Bakum and Chad Jackson. Watch the movie on demand or buy the DVD now at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com, salemnow.com.
I'm Mary Walter in for Todd Starnes. Tomorrow, you can join my podcast. If you go on YouTube, you look for Mary Walter Radio. It'll bring it right up, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. It's also on Getter. It's just Mary Walter. I didn't have to go for Mary Walter Radio. I actually got Mary Walter on Getter. So 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, you can always go back and view older episodes as well. And we're going to be launching a new podcast in October, beginning of October. So it'll be two podcasts then. Coming up, Congressman Louie Gohmert will be joining us on the border crisis, an update on the Trump raid and a Biden speech yesterday in Pennsylvania. This is interesting. There are some rank-and-file conservatives who have already introduced impeachment articles in the current Congress against the president. Of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the most vocal of them. They accuse Biden of committing high crimes in his approach to a bunch of different issues, border, coronavirus, withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan. So they're saying some of these conservatives, because they're expected to win the House majority, they want to move as soon as they take the majority to impeach the president. And they say some are going to make it a first order of business. Bob Good out of Virginia said, "I've consistently said President Biden should be impeached for intentionally opening our border and making Americans less safe." This is very much like what the Democrats did, right? I mean, how many times did they impeach Trump? Twice. They would have done it much more. They would have done it every single, it would have just been a renewing impeachment every, you know, maybe seasonal, four times a year, you know. And it was just a small group of very progressive Democrats who wanted to impeach Trump, but then it grew, right? And they got Nancy Pelosi on board when there was a secret whistleblower who came forward, you know, and said, "Oh, Trump's pressuring foreign powers to find dirt on his political opponents," and you know, all that. And so they did that. So they had the formal impeachment in September of 2019. So that was 8 months after Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House. So, you know, the difference is this time is there are quite a few conservatives who are voicing a need to impeach Biden. And they're either doing it informally or have come out and actually said that they support that. And we're going to speak with Congressman Andy Biggs about that coming up next hour. Because he is mentioned in this piece that I'm quoting from. So it'll be interesting to talk to him about that. I also wanted to share this with you. It's hot. Oh, Lord. Depends on where you are, right? And there are parts of the country that have a drought going on, and other parts of the country, like Mississippi, which is getting far too much water, and they're drowning there. It's horrible what's happening there to those people. But one of the things they don't have is power. Now, California, the California Independent System Operator, which manages the state's electric grid, warned yesterday that they're going to have to issue a series of what they call flex alerts over the next several days. Those are voluntary calls for conservation in the afternoon and the evening hours when energy use goes up because the heat comes, you know, sun comes out, it gets hotter as the day goes on, people come home from work. They're being asked to turn their thermostats to 78 degrees or higher, which is funny because the thermostat in my home is set at 78 degrees in the summer. Avoid using dishwashers or other large appliances and hold off on charging their electric vehicles from 4 to 9 p.m., which I found interesting because aren't we all supposed to have electric vehicles now? Isn't that what they tell us? Isn't California no longer going to be selling electric vehicles after like 2033? Which, if they were serious, they would make it 2023. But they're not serious. So it's, you know, 10 years down the road, we're not going to allow you to buy a gas-powered vehicle in the state of California. When are you going to charge it? Because if everybody has to charge their electric vehicles after 9 o'clock, when everybody plugs in, what do you think happens to the system? And I know a lot of people, like I said, our air conditioning is at 78 degrees during the day. And at night, it goes down to 74 because you have to be able to sleep, right? If you can't sleep, ugh, it's miserable. So you want to be able to sleep. Let's go to Steve from Central Arkansas. Steve, you are on the Todd Starn Show. Hi.
Hi, Mary. I want to comment on the Mar-a-Lago raid. In my opinion, the whole thing became tainted the very day they showed up there and wouldn't allow the attorneys to observe what they were doing, and they tried to get them to shut off the security cameras. How can you trust anything that's being said?
Well, exactly. And I almost feel like I'm the crazy person. Like, you and I are in the same crazy boat at sometimes, because when you read what people say about this, you're like, well, it's the FBI. Trump is guilty. Trump is doing this. Trump is doing that. But if you say to them, but look what the FBI has done in the past, I have people who tell me that the Hunter Biden laptop isn't real. What do you say to those people other than, okay? I mean, like, I don't know what you say.
I would ask them, if you were in President Trump, if they did a raid on your home like that and they pressed charges on you for some evidence they found, you would claim a mistrial or incompetence if your lawyer didn't immediately at the beginning of the trial try to get all that marked as inadmissible evidence.
Right.
Just because of the way they served the search warrant.
And it's interesting because the FBI wanted them to turn off the security cameras, and now people all over Twitter are like, well, if Trump's so innocent, why doesn't he release the security footage? I'm like, the FBI didn't want security footage. Now you want him to release it. No matter what Trump does, they want the opposite. It doesn't matter. They just hate him so much. It really truly is some kind of mental deficiency. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate you joining me. Coming up, Congressman Louie Gohmert will be joining us here on the Todd Starn Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes today. Great to be with you. Coming up in about half an hour, we'll be joined by Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. In an hour from now, Congressman Andy Biggs will be joining us. And after Andy Biggs, we'll speak with Mike Davis, a founder of the Article 3 Project. But right now, we have a very special guest. Yes! Probably my favorite, Congressman Louie Gohmert. I am so excited that you're on with me today. How are you?
Well, as far as I know, I'm all right, Mary. Thank you. And that song always takes me back to when I was a member of the first band in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And we played that song. And there were everybody thought there was some pretty nasty words in there, but it's just that the Kingsmen slurred them so bad that it really wasn't like people thought. But anyway,
exactly.
All you had to know was G, C, and D, those three chords, and you could play that and about a dozen others, just exactly same tune.
Well, Kyle, our engineer here, was telling me during the break about how his band, when he was in the band, he said, you know how I know this song? Because I had to learn it to be in the band.
Well, it wasn't hard. That was an easy one.
Oh, see, Kyle, yeah. They taught you because it was easy.
Telling me he was lucky they didn't make him learn Inagata Davida.
Yeah, he probably doesn't know what that is because we're old. So you and I are old. He doesn't know what that is.
Yeah,
so when I said we have to play Louie because that we got to do that, one of the people who shall not be named in the studio said, "What's that?" I was like, "Really? You don't know Louie?"
Well, and actually, there were other versions of it, but. You know, different songs, not versions, but different songs.
Well, that's the classic.
We've got lots of bad stuff going on.
I know, and I want to get to that. I want your reaction. I just spent the last about 45 minutes, the first part of the show, discussing what the FBI has filed in regards to the Trump raid. And what is your, I'd like to get your opinion of what you saw, what the FBI, the DOJ rather, has filed about what they've done with the Trump raid, what they took, the picture that was released, etc.
Well, you know what? I wish that I had faith and trust in the honesty and integrity of the people at the FBI and DOJ that did that, but I just don't. And as a former judge who would sign search warrants and arrest warrants, if an officer coming to you did not have history of integrity, or with a law enforcement group that did not have integrity, and in fact you knew that they had falsified things and not punished the people that falsified them, then you were really reluctant. It created a need for more evidence to justify probable cause, because credibility of witnesses is always relevant and material. And we unfortunately have, and I used to say it was just the top of the FBI, but that's where the problems were. But going back to the Mueller days, when Mueller would, from what I'd seen, like in the Ted Stevens case, he would reward people that fraudulently created cases and then would punish anyone that was honest about what was done. And so, you know, it just, credibility is a real issue when it comes to the current FBI. So if unless you're an illegitimate judge, somebody that's biased, somebody that hates Trump and loves Hillary Clinton, so much, say hypothetically that you've recused yourself from anything involving, case involving Hillary Clinton. In that case, well, the standards go out the window and they're ready to punish Trump. It's part of the problem in our system. And so they knew who they were going to get the warrant. But this was unprecedented. Nobody had ever had the nerve to put our little experiment self-government at such risk, which is what they have done. And think about it, Mary. Put yourself in the place of Donald Trump and those that work with him, that care about the truth as a legacy. You know that the FBI and DOJ went for years, first getting warrants to spy on you and your campaign, that they fraudulently created a basis for the warrants, and it went to the highest level of the DOJ and the FBI. If I were Trump, I would have been extremely concerned and still be about these guys getting rid of documents that would show just how extensive the fraud was and trying to make it look like Trump did some terrible things while he was president. I would be concerned about that if I were former President Donald Trump.
So let me ask you, though.
I would want to declassify documents and keep them myself, because I would not trust the DOJ to do the right thing. So, and then plus, he had authority to declassify them. He did declassify them as they took them. And so this was a document negotiation. It goes on all the time in civil and criminal cases. And this is just outrageous, the danger they have put our government in.
So let me ask you, though, like the way I look at this, and because I agree with everything, obviously, that you're saying. But if it's true, as Kash Patel has asserted, that Trump had Crossfire Hurricane documents that he said he had declassified. We all remember the tweet that went out that I declassify all this stuff. He wrote a letter on his last days in office saying that he was declassifying all this stuff. They didn't declassify it. Right. They chose not to honor that declassification. They didn't do it. If he did have that paperwork, is it worth it to the DOJ and the FBI to do what they've done, knowing that they probably will never be found out? No one's going to be punished because no one's been punished or held accountable so far. So it was worth it to them. Take the risk.
Yeah, exactly. And they have gotten away with it. And as I've said before, you know, I was hoping the FBI director that replaced Comey would come in and completely clean out the FBI of the corruption and the dishonesty. And in my opinion, Christopher Wray has added to it, and instead of cleaning things up, just swept things under the rug, not interested in really exposing and stopping the corrupt practices that have gone on. I cannot overstate how devastating the actions by the DOJ for the last, going back to 2001 when Mueller took over the FBI, just how much damage they have done. And the jury's still out on whether or not we are going to be able to save our Republican form of government. But you have an intel community that was corrupted and apparently still is. You have a DOJ that was corrupted. And Mary, exactly like you say, they haven't held anybody accountable. The start was to try with Sussman, but, you know, they knew they were trying it in D.C., where to D.C. jurors, apparently, it's a defense to say, but they were lying to go after Republicans, so that makes it okay and not a crime. I mean, this is dangerous stuff, and it's got to be exposed.
Does the Hillary Clinton case, in the way that Comey chose to exonerate her by adding intent to the law, to what he could have charged her with, you know, with the improper handling of the documents, but because he did that, does that set a precedent now for Trump? Trump can say, well, I didn't mean to break the law. I declassified these things, and they can go back and forth. And he could say, well, I didn't mean to break any law. I wasn't breaking a law. Just like Hillary Clinton, I didn't have the intent to do so.
Well, as long as he were not tried in D.C., then he would very clearly be exonerated at any trial. But hopefully, I would hope and pray that it would not go that far, because they are putting the country at risk. And I really think part of what they're doing is trying to inflame Trump supporters so they'll do something else violent, so that they can just, you know, finish the total intimidation of Trump supporters. They got a start. There are people who say, well, I'll never be part of a rally again. I love Trump, but I'll never be part of a rally. This is, you know, Garland has made clear he wanted to intimidate Trump supporters. That's what apparently they're doing. And
but you know,
one thing we cannot do is let them provoke violence. We have got to clean these clowns out at the next election. And then we've got to clean house, get people who will clean house. And, you know, and I've talked to Jim Jordan a number of times about it. And he was kidding around saying, you know, maybe we need to hire you to be the lead investigator going after this administration as a judiciary committee. But the judiciary committee has got to start holding these people accountable, not letting them get away with the corruption that's been going on. That's a start.
And we're running out of time here. So is that something you would do? I mean, do the Republicans have the guts and the votes, especially with Mitch McConnell as the leader? Sorry, I'm not a huge fan. To actually do something like impeach Biden and use that as the first thing to start going after all these people to say, we're cleaning house. Let's do to them what they did to Trump.
Yeah, well, it may be that, and if the Senate gets the majority, I would hope there is enough push from the American people that it will wake the Senate up to what needs to be done, because I think you'll see the House not do what Paul Ryan as Speaker did, but actually go after the fraud and the corruption and start cleaning house. And I know Jim is making clear he's going after that. And, you know, Kevin McCarthy is saying he is going to make sure we hold people accountable. Well, that's been the problem in the past. We would get people that would say we're going to do this and that, like Boehner and Ryan,
right,
and then they would do exactly the opposite, not hold anybody accountable. But this Republican form of government with a little R, it will not stand much longer if we do not hold these people accountable that have engaged in so much corruption. The intel community has way too much power. The DOJ, through the Patriot Act, got more power than they should have ever gotten.
Yeah.
And they continue to tell people on the judiciary, oh, gosh, you know, we don't take this away. We're keeping mm-hmm. America safe. Well, let me tell you, I've looked at what they say. They saved by having some of the, what I would say, overzealous provisions, yep, the Patriot Act, and we don't need those. There's plenty of probable cause to get what we've gotten without them spying on every American, which I would submit is what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I would love to see it. My husband says, and I say this all the time, I give him so much credit. He said the Republican Party needs a lot more women, because they seem to be the ones who aren't afraid about speaking up, and they don't care what the left says about them. And we need more Lauren Boberts, Marjorie Taylor Greens, Elise Stefanik's, because they don't care about being in Congress forever. They just want to go in there and get, yep, the job done. And I would love to see you have a role in this, because I do think that you would be fair. But then again, I'm biased, as we all know. So there is that. Yep. Congressman Louie, yep, Gohmert, thank you so much. And please, please, please tell them, fight. Will they please, yep, fight? It's so disheartening to watch them not fight for, you know, the Senate, not watching them fight for these people who are running for the Senate in the midterms. Could they put some money into Dr. Oz or some of these other people? At least they may not be the perfect candidate, but could they at least fight? I would really appreciate that. Congressman Louie Gohmert, thank
that.
You.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary.
Have a great week, and thank you for joining me on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Line. We've got more newsmakers coming up. Hans von Spakovsky will be joining us in about 20 minutes on the Todd Stern Show. Walter in for Todd Starnes, 844-747-8868 is my number. Let's go to Lee from Gainesville, listening on WDU. And Lee, you are on the Todd Starnes Show. Hi.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Glad you joined me.
Yeah, I was just listening, and two songs, Louie Louie and Gotta Be a Behind Butterfly. I'll be 69 this year, and I remember him so well. And I love the way he cleaned that one up, the first song, but I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. It's back in the day. And I'm telling you, it's back, you know, things were so nice back then, but anyway, so,
right,
you know, then of course they had to be at number one. So, but anyway, he don't have to worry. There's people, I don't go out and protest anyway, and, you know, but the Republicans, we are silent supporters, and we don't go out and make a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I'm a Trump supporter, and you know, and I didn't vote for Purdue because I like Brian Kemp better, but it don't mean I don't support him. But, I mean, I'm sitting here, when come November, I'm going to vote in the midterm, and I'm going to vote for the people that I think would be the best for us, and it's going to be the Republicans. And then come the 24th, I hope that our Republican senators and representatives stand up and do what they need to do.
Yes, yeah, so you're commenting on what Congressman Gohmert said, that what he thinks may be happening here, and I think he may be right, is that they're just pushing and pushing and pushing to frustrate people who are not members of the party, people who disagree with what the Democrats do, to get them to protest. They want another January 6th, and you have to be careful because the truth will never come out. Just like if there were Antifa in January 6th, if there were government informants January 6th, they'll do that again because they've gotten away with it so far once. They'll do it again. And that's what he's afraid of. But I'm with you in the sense that everybody knows I'm a Trump supporter. I don't care. I'm not going to a protest. Absolutely not. Because that's not my style. That's not the way I roll. However, I kind of like it that they don't know who the supporters are and who aren't. And then they get really overconfident. And then we get to hit them again like we did in 2016. And they never see it coming. Thank you so much. Coming up next, Hans von Spakovsky joining us here from the Heritage Foundation on the Todd Stern Show. Welcome to the Todd Stern Show. If you are just joining us, well, where have you been? I'm Mary Walters sitting in for Todd Stern's lot. We're talking about today focusing a lot on what's happening with the Trump raid and the DOJ filing to the court. They had to have it in by midnight last night. We're going to delve into more about that with Hans von Spakovsky. He's the senior legal fellow from the Heritage Foundation and a great guy. Hans, welcome to the Todd Stern Show. How are you?
Mary, it's great to talk to you again.
I was telling everybody about your amazing Christmas cookies.
Well, I'm going to have to make some again this Christmas and ship them to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll come down and pick them up. Hans and his wife are phenomenal bakers. And he's a great lawyer. And Hans, we've been talking about the DOJ filing that they gave to the court last night. They had to have it in by midnight, and it seems as if they waited right to the absolute last minute. Now, the Trump camp has to respond to that today. They were allowed to file a response that was more than 20 pages. How does the Trump team effectively respond to 36 pages in 24 hours?
Well, I think they're going to have to dispute. I mean, hopefully they'd already been working on it, even though they didn't know exactly what the government was going to say. Their lawyers should have known and been guessing probably what the government was going to say. And what the government says in the affidavit, which I actually read this morning, I'm sorry, in their pleading, which they read this morning, is that the president actually doesn't even have any standing to be making any kind of claim in court because these aren't his records. These are the records of the United States under the Presidential Records Act. And so he's got no right to be in court in the first place. And Justice says, even if we did pick up any personal materials, personally and attorney-client privileges, well, we're entitled to keep them anyway, and you're not entitled to get them back. And in any event, we've already looked through all the materials, and we've figured out what is attorney-client privileged and what isn't. And therefore, there's no need for a special master to be assigned, someone who could independently look through all these documents. Oh, and in any event, that would just be terrible for a special master to be appointed because that would raise all kinds of quote-unquote national security issues. I mean, that's what the Justice Department said.
So let me go back. First of all, the warrant that they had to go to Mar-a-Lago, yeah, it was a surprise raid. Nobody was notified in the Trump camp, right? It was totally a surprise.
Right.
They did put a big show out of making this huge raid with the sirens and the 30 officer, you know, agents going into the house. Was that warrant, I'm not the lawyer, was that overly broad? Were they basically allowed to told that they could go in? Did they specify exactly what they were looking for? Or were they allowed to just go in and just see what they wanted to take?
Well, they were supposed to go in and, there were certain rooms, certain other areas that were designated that they were entitled to look at, others that they were not, and they were clearly looking for presidential records that they consider to be, as they say, the property of the United States, and in particular, classified documents. By the way, I mean, one of the things that they claim in the latest pleading is that that they were supposedly never told before by President Trump's lawyers that these documents had been declassified. As you know, the Trump team has been saying these documents were declassified by the president. So that issue really still has not been dealt with. We've not had a hearing, and that's really what ought to happen, is there ought to be a hearing in which the Justice Department presents its evidence and the Trump folks present their evidence on the claim that all these documents were declassified, and therefore there's really no justification for what the Justice Department is doing.
But see, now that they've done this, and if I put on my, you know, I polish up my tinfoil hat and slip it on my head here, what they've done by doing this, we don't know what they have. We only know what they have because of what they tell us they have. So we have to trust them to be honest about what they have. So if Kash Patel, for instance, is correct by saying, well, they went in because Trump had a Crossfire Hurricane documents, and they wanted those documents because we know that Trump declassified a bunch of Crossfire Hurricane stuff before he left, and they never released it. They said, no, we're not declassifying that. So if Trump had that, if he signed that letter, if they took it, it never sees the light of day ever again, right?
Yeah, no, and that's, let me tell you, that's a real risk. And it's particularly a risk when we heard the latest, which I'm sure you saw, that the special assistant agent in charge of the D.C. office, Timothy Tebold, resigned over the weekend. This is the guy who whistleblowers said not only stomped out the Hunter Biden investigation in 2020 so that it wouldn't affect Joe Biden's presidential run, but had been applying a double standard because he's a big left-wing liberal. And the latest reporting from Fox says that he was actually involved in the affidavit that the FBI submitted to get this search warrant. So, you know, trusting the Justice Department, what they're saying at this point, that's a little bit difficult to do when we've got that kind of information coming out about the people who were involved in all of this.
But the Justice Department holds all the cards, do they not? They hold all the power, they hold all the cards. So they could take Trump down on this, and we'll never know, because unless someone comes out with this information down the road, too bad. And, well, the other stuff, I'll hit you with the end in just a second here. So is that the way this should be read? That, you know, it's totally up. They won. They have everything.
Well, at the moment, they do. But so far, you know, the Trump team needs to put up a big fight. And I think the biggest thing they need to do is they need to get that evidence in, particularly from Kash Patel, about the fact that these documents were all declassified. And so there's no justice, you know, the Justice Department is citing various statutes, but they really have been concentrating on the fact that the president had classified materials there. And the Trump folks really need to fight back on that. By the way, I mean, one of the things I find bizarre in all of this, including in the pleading from last night, is they keep talking about these classified and other documents being in unsecured areas and therefore, you know, unprotected and all that. Excuse me, but Mar-a-Lago is protected by, guess who? The Secret Service. So the idea that some foreign agent is going to get by the Secret Service to get into these documents, why, if I was the head of the Secret Service, I'd be highly insulted by everything the Justice Department has been saying, including in their latest pleading.
That is an excellent, excellent point. So how did they know that these documents were there? They said they were being held in an unsecured area. I read that and I thought, wonder how they knew that. Are they spying on the Trump campaign again? Could they have a confidential informant inside the Trump home?
Apparently they do, because there were huge areas blacked out of the prior document they submitted, which included the affidavit of the FBI agent. there were huge portions blacked out, and it would seem to be that's probably because, yeah, they've got some source, somebody inside Mar-a-Lago who's telling them about this.
So, I don't know. I think about that. Like, they've been spying on this president since he came down the escalator in 2015. But it keeps going on, and it never changes. Yeah. Is this legal? This isn't legal, right?
Well, I think a lot of what they've done has been there's been a lot of misbehavior by FBI agents, and it hasn't been corrected. I mean, think about all the things that the Inspector General, the DOJ's Inspector General report, found out about the FBI and DOJ electronic eavesdropping on the Trump campaign, the whole investigation of the Russia-Trump collusion hoax. All of the things detailed by the IG of misbehavior by FBI agents, misleading the FISA court, all this kind of stuff, and yet, where's the information on all of those agents being disciplined, on being terminated, on being suspended? It's like this latest guy, Timothy Tybalt, the guy who just resigned over the weekend. It's not like his partisanship was any big secret. He had all these social media posts, all these anti-Trump social media posts, all this radical left-wing stuff. It's like, does the leadership of the FBI just not care about that, or do they not pay any attention to things like this? This guy should have been gotten rid of years ago.
Well, it is, and there is an idea being floated. Brett Tolman, who is the former Utah federal prosecutor, was on Fox yesterday, and he said that the recent actions from within the Bureau and the DOJ are either that they're unraveling or they're in damage control. I don't see it that way. I think they are in total control, and they are saying, president's not in control. Congress isn't in control. We're in control. Come and get us.
I tend to think you're right about that, because so far they've almost all the people involved in this have seen absolutely no consequences to what they're doing. Even this latest guy, Timothy Tybalt, who stopped the Hunter Biden investigation from going forward for partisan reasons. So he resigned. So he gets to collect his pension, and nothing else gets done to him, and he's now not subject to any kind of penalty by the FBI, and neither can the Inspector General do anything about him.
But
and,
he
you know,
can.
You and I both know he'll be treated as a hero by MSNBC and others.
Can Congress, though, do something to him, prosecute him in any way for what he did?
No, they can't, because only the Justice Department has the power to prosecute.
This isn't making
I know,
me happy.
It's frustrating. Look, it's just like Lois Lerner, right? Lois Lerner, the IRS got away with all of this. And what happened to her? Well, she retired, is collecting her pension. The Justice Department refused to prosecute her for contempt of Congress when she wouldn't answer questions about it. And what's the latest? Well, we're about to get 87,000 more Lois Lerners at the IRS.
So put on your tinfoil hat for me and get at your crystal ball and tell me what happens to Trump. Where does this go? Do they damage him enough? Are they successful in stopping him from running?
I think they've probably been surprised. I think there may have been an intention here by liberals in the Justice Department and elsewhere thinking, oh, well, if we go forward with this, why this will be the straw? This will be the straw that broke the camel's back, and there's no way he's going to run. The American people will see how terrible he is. But you've seen the reaction around the country to this; it's been the exact opposite. And I think the Justice Department has been totally surprised by the reaction to this, in the same way that they totally miscalculated when Garland and others label parents who show up at Gord meetings as domestic terrorists, and it totally rebounded on them and helped damage their reputation even more.
So can they make a case, though, against Trump here? Do they have a case? I mean, I look at Hillary Clinton. I asked Louis Gohmert this question. You know, James Comey decided not to even charge Hillary Clinton with the improper handling of classified material because she didn't mean to. There was no intent there. Intent was never part of the law, but he made it part of the requirement to charge. Can they go ahead then and charge Trump for improper handling of classified information when they didn't charge Hillary Clinton?
I think they would have a very hard time making any case. And I think any good defense lawyer would bring up the Clinton case and say that this was selective partisan prosecution. And remember, Donald Trump has one big thing going for him that Hillary Clinton didn't have, which is Hillary Clinton didn't have the ability to declassify all the classified documents she was looking at. The president did. And that would be part of his defense. I declassified these documents. And nobody disagrees. A president is the ultimate authority on that issue. No one can question his declassification.
Except the DOJ, who says, no, he didn't have that authority. Hans von Spakovsky, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I really appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Sure thing, anytime.
One of Todd's favorite sponsors, Life Change Tea, is having their big summer sale. Get this, you buy three, you get one for free. So this summer, why not make a commitment to feel your very best? Life Change Tea is an amazing, natural, gentle cleanse that you can use daily for optimum gut health. Todd drinks it every day. It's the right combination of 12 herbs. It comes in three delicious flavors, natural peppermint and pomegranate. Life Change Tea has been around since 2007, and it's made right here in the good old US of A. It's easy to brew. You keep it in your fridge. You drink it daily. It's summertime. You're always going to want to have a big, refreshing glass. That's why Todd drinks Life Change Tea daily. Go to getthetea.com to order yours today. Use the discount code TODD10 to get an additional $10 off plus free shipping. That is over a $50 savings. That's getthetea.com and use discount code TODD and the number 10 for an additional $10 off plus free shipping. Don't miss out. In for Todd Starnes here on the Todd Starnes Show. You know, you can always call in 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. If you would like to join me, I would love to hear from you. And I just want to ask you quickly, I got a couple minutes here to take your call. If you want to jump and get in here, can the FBI and the DOJ regain their reputations? You know, we're having conversation after conversation about how tainted the FBI and the DOJ are at this point in the game. And, you know, I thought it was scary when you talk to someone like Hans von Spakovsky. And by the way, it took me months to be able to say that name. you know, talking to someone like that or talking to Congressman Louie Gohmert, and they're like, yeah, you know, they're pretty much saying we could do whatever we want. Come and get us, because you're not going to touch us, because we have everything we want. We got what we wanted. We've got whatever paperwork they were looking for that Trump had. We took it. We're not returning anything. We're not even going to return the mementos that we took. We're not even going to return the personal things that we took, the personal items that we took to the president or former president of the United States. Think about that. That, to me, is super scary. And why? Because they know that there will be no repercussions for their actions. They have free rein. And if they have free rein and can do whatever they want to a former sitting president in this country, what do you think they can do to you? Now, I know people go, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Oh, they don't want anything to do with me. I don't have secret documents. I don't have... You don't know what they want to do to you. And that's scary. Coming up, Congressman Andy Biggs, he just returned from the border. We're going to talk to him about what's happening at the border and also more about the Trump raid. Coming up on the Todd Starnes Show.
Live live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm Mary Walter, sitting in for Todd Starnes today in the Liberty University studios. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Andy Biggs out of Arizona, just returned from the border, so I'm sure he has a lot to tell us. Congressman, thank you for joining us.
Mary, it's good to be with you.
So you just returned from the border, which if you're in Arizona, you probably feel like you're at the actual border all the time with the invasion that is happening there. Why don't you give us an update on what you're seeing, or is it just the same thing we've been seeing ever since we had Biden become president?
Well, it's more of the same, except for just always a little bit worse than before. So here's a way to think of it. Yesterday afternoon, I'm in Yuma with four fellow members of Congress and staff. We're there. It's 116 degrees, Mary, and normally nobody's crossing the border. But we happen to be there just as a Russian family of three crosses the border and surrenders. Now, I want you to think about that, because most of the traffic in Yuma is from about 11:30 p.m. to 8 in the morning. And yesterday, by 8 a.m., they had encountered more than 600. They've been seeing over 1,000 a day. And so they'd already done more than 600. And you got three people crossing the river when it's 116 degrees. That's crazy. The facility that they have down there that they had to construct because of this crisis, supposed to handle 1,200 people, 2,300 people.
Wow.
Crowded into there. And that's a slow day. Everyone was sure they wanted to say, Andy, this is a slow day. And that's what we're seeing. It continues to worsen. And this administration is they're welcoming this. They want this. This is purposeful.
So I'm going to ask a dumb question here. What has happened with Governor Abbott, I believe Arizona is doing it as well, by busing these people into New York City, into Washington, D.C. I think they should send them to Philadelphia. If you want to help out Dr. Oz, you want to get a Republican in that seat, start shipping them to Philly, because Fetterman wants them. He wants to be a sanctuary state. You should start shipping them to Pennsylvania as well. All these places where we have Republicans who are running for the Senate in order to take the Senate, why aren't Republicans on the national level helping and doing something like this in order to make the case for Republicans getting those seats?
You know, that's a great idea. And I know that Governor Ducey, Governor Abbott, they've been trying to get, they're doing this because they want to get the narrative to change. They want eyes to be open.
Right.
And so that's why it needs to be spread around. I get what you're saying. The issue is they can only take people who are willing to go there. And so right now, these people, they want to get to New York. They want to go to Washington, D.C. And you know, if they want to go to Philadelphia, somewhere else in Pennsylvania, then I'm sure that these governors would be willing to get them there. So it's so important to raise the awareness of what's happening and how serious it is.
Absolutely. And I think my frustration and the point of my comment was that I don't think the national plays the way Democrats do. And I wish they would play the way Democrats do, the national GOP. They don't put money into these seats. They say, oh, we're not going to win, so we're just going to pull back the ad bomb. What are you kidding me? What are you kidding me? You should be putting the money and doing things like to send them to Delaware. Why are they not in Delaware, right by where Joe Biden lives? Send them to Rehoboth. Why is that not happening? That's what makes me so frustrating. To me, this is the perfect opportunity for Republicans to play the way Democrats do and play like they want to win. And that's why I was so thrilled to see Republican governors doing what the national refuses to do. And it's just very frustrating as someone who really, really wants Republicans to win despite themselves.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like we play with both arms tied behind our backs sometimes, and the other side doesn't. I mean, they come to a knife fight with a knife, and we show up with a water gun. And I get so doggone frustrated myself, because when I look at this, you know, so Ducey has put up some of these railroad containers.
Yes.
And they're up. I think it's a fine idea. He has stuck them in these key areas near the Morales Dam in Yuma. Well, now you've got people from the right criticizing, saying, oh, well, you know, it's not doing anything. It actually is doing what fencing does. It is funneling people back over to where they're coming through this the Cocopa Reservation. I view that as saying we have got to take the opportunities. The Democrats are giving us opportunities on everything from the economy to energy prices to high crime rates with their sanctuary cities, with Fetterman and wanting to be a sanctuary state, to this border security issue where there are things that we could do to elevate this.
Yeah.
Americans, I still believe we're a center-right country. They want individual freedoms. They want to feel safe. They want a good economy. And we don't, gosh, we just missed opportunity after opportunity.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it is just so frustrating. And I hear it from listeners all the time. No matter where I am, I'll bring this up because it drives me absolutely crazy that I sit here and think, I can do this better than they can, and they're the professionals. How is this happening? Because they don't fight to win. Speaking of Pennsylvania and wanting to send them there, you've got Republicans supporting Josh Shapiro, who is the Democrat nominee for the governor of Pennsylvania, because the guy that he's running against, the actual Republican, they say Doug Mastriano, he is a Trump-backed candidate. He's too extreme. Why do Republicans, I guess, what is the explanation for doing something like this? I scratch my head, and I'm just like, why?
Yeah, it's inexplicable. We have in Arizona a laundry list of Republicans that have now come out saying that Republicans for Mark Kelly, the Senate. We've got a good candidate in Blake Masters. Blake's working hard. He'll be a great U.S. senator. But the reason is, again, he was backed by Trump. Now, when was the last time you saw a list of Democrats say, Democrats for, Andy Biggs, a Republican? When's right. The last time you saw that? You don't see it. The Democrats don't ever flee their party. Republicans are the most feckless people around in some ways,
yes.
Because they always, I mean, why should Blake Masters have to be fighting mayors and county supervisors who are supporting Mark Kelly? Why should he have to face that? They should be supporting him because Mark Kelly votes with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden 100% of the time, and Blake Masters is going to bring us a better economy, more safety, security on the border. He's going to fight men showing up in the women's locker room for women's sports. It is mind-blowing to me that we see this happening, but it happens all the time, every election.
Yeah, that just drives me crazy. Now, I saw a piece about House conservatives that are preparing plans to impeach Joe Biden, and you happen to be quoted in this article. You said, Mayorkas and Garland have purposefully made our country less safe, politicized their departments, and violated the rule of law. In some instances, they have instructed their subordinates to disobey our laws. That is unacceptable. And you have endorsed, they say you've endorsed a number of impeachment resolutions this year, saying next January, I expect the House to pursue my impeachment articles against Mayorkas, as well as Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's impeachment articles that I co-sponsored against Attorney General Merrick Garland. Why not go after Biden?
I've already signed on to impeachment resolutions. I did a year ago against Joe Biden. So he's there. He's we can take him out here's what most people need to understand. We won't remove anyone from office. We will not have the Senate votes because it takes 2/3. But we can actually shine a light on what they've done. And so I actually signed, like I say, there was a handful of us that signed on a year ago to impeach Joe Biden. And so I'm going to continue to push that. But it's going to take great leadership in the House of Representatives to have the courage to go forward and do these things and deliver a very forward pro-America agenda at the same time, which we can do.
Right. Yeah, I just don't know if Mitch McConnell would be behind something like that, or if that's something that he would tell members to just like quietly and like, okay, we're just not going to do this. I just don't know if the Republicans, going back to the theme of this conversation, have the guts to play the game the way Democrats do. I'm not a member of the Republican Party because I don't like to give money to losers who are going to use my money in a way that I don't think is effective. So I'm not a member of the Republican Party. I'm an independent. But I still cheer for them to fight. Like, I would love to see them play the game that Democrats did. Nancy Pelosi was in office 8 months, and she's impeaching Trump.
Yeah. No, what happens is McConnell, let's say you had every senator on the Republican side say that they were going to impeach Biden or Mayorkas or whoever. You got to have 67 votes in the Senate, so they're not going to. I can't imagine them playing the game. But in the House, we can do. And I always tell people all the time, I'm a member of the House. We should be doing the best we can possibly do, whether it's legislation, whether it's oversight, our constitutional requirements, whatever it is. And then we can't worry about the Senate. But I, you know, what I get tired of is members of the House saying, "Well, the Senate will never pass it, so let's not try it."
Yes.
Well, why? That's negotiating against yourself. Give the best bill, most pro-freedom, pro-constitutional, pro-American legislation you can put. Send it to the Senate and let them tell the American people why they don't want to do the great conservative plan that will preserve this nation. Let the Republicans in the Senate say that. But don't negotiate against yourself and don't give up before you fight.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're just so used to having their lunch money taken by the Democrats that they just voluntarily hand it to them when they walk into Congress now. It's just ridiculous. So very quickly, before I run out of time, Joe Biden yesterday was supposed to be giving a policy speech in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and it turned into a demonize the Republicans speech. I think the rhetoric coming from the left as far as demonizing Republicans, anyone that doesn't agree with them is a fascist now, semi-fascist. They haven't gone full-blown fascist on us. Now we're just semi-fascist. That is a signal, I think, to Antifa, to a lot of their supporters, you know, in 2020 it was, oh, well, they're Nazis, so you can punch them. Now it's like, well, they're fascists. How does the GOP fight back against that rhetoric? Do you do something like go after Chuck Schumer and say, hey, you know what? Your rhetoric got an attempt on Brett Kavanaugh's life. We're holding you responsible. When does that start? And is it something that should start? How do you counter it?
Well, you counter it by doing what I did several years ago when Maxine Waters was saying stuff like that. I introduced a censure resolution. Now, my leadership, then Speaker Ryan, said he wouldn't put that forward. He felt it would make her a martyr. I told him I didn't think so. I don't think you make Maxine Waters a martyr. And I said, in the end, though, what you have to do is, if you don't hold somebody accountable, there is no deterrence. You are lawless.
Right.
The purpose for holding somebody responsible is you get specific and general deterrence. That person is deterred from doing it again, and you get general deterrence because other people say, yeah, you know, I don't want to cross the line. I can go up to the line. We encourage free speech, but not violent speech, not the type of rhetoric that says if you are conservative and support Trump or MAGA or anything else, we're going to bring F-15s against you. I mean, that's the kind of rhetoric that some kind of petty thug in a third world nation uses against his people.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do go after Biden, I hope you hold him accountable for all the fentanyl deaths from the drugs that are pouring over that open border, because it is just absolutely, it's an epidemic and it's disgusting. And our children are dying.
That's correct. That's correct. Over 100,000 last year.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I believe you have an election coming up November 8th. So good luck with that. And thank you for taking the time to join me. Have a fantastic week, sir. That's Representative Andy Biggs.
Thanks, Mary.
844-747-8868 is my number, and I've got some of your calls coming up here on the Todd Starnes Show. Walter in for Todd Starnes. And now more than ever, it is important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and use promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers that other carriers use. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for our veterans and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile is so easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and free premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more details, visit patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right, let's get to your calls, 844-747-8868 here on the Todd Starn Show. Patty from North Carolina, listening on WISIC. Patty, welcome to the show. Hi.
Mary, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm glad to have you.
Hey, listen, my credibility without, you know, with the FBI went with, remember the NASA with the all the girls that were going to the FBI saying they were being raped, and they just turned a blind eye to these girls.
That's a good point. Yeah. So
why does the left put out for them?
Okay, so let me ask you, why you're politically involved? Obviously, you listen to Todd, you call, you have opinions. When you have these conversations with people, though, who, because they raided Trump, now the FBI is good, how do they do those mental gymnastics?
Oh,
how do
not
they go?
In my area, I live in North Carolina, a rural area. No, people are not stupid. They think because we live in a rural area. I'm originally from New Jersey, and when I came to North Carolina, let me tell you something. I have Trump signs. I have Trump flags all over my yard.
Well, I'm a Jersey girl as well. So how about this?
I was born in Jersey City, Mayor.
Oh, my grandparents had a bakery in Jersey City.
Okay.
So there you go.
You want to know something? And I go around, and you know what? I don't care. I wear my I have a hat. I have an ultra MAGA hat. I wear that everywhere.
Yeah. You know, but I think people who live in places like New Jersey, we do fly our Trump flag here. And, you know, a lot of times we get honks, you know, and other times we get, you know, people shouting obscenities out the window. So I do think that, you know, obviously I'm going to run into these people much more than you are. But I think it's actually kind of good that they don't know where we are and they don't know who we are and they don't know how many of us there are. And we can vote once again and surprise them, just like we did in 2016. And Patty, you have a nice cup of coffee for breakfast. I'm Harry Walter. Mike Davis coming up next on the Todd Starn Show. Walter is sitting in for Todd Starnes today. We have had so much fun on the show. So if you are just joining us, well, you missed a really good show. You might want to go back and listen to what you missed. But right now, moving forward on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, it is Mike Davis, the president of Article 3 Project. Mike, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk about the DOJ and the special master. So the DOJ filed their response to Trump's team requesting a special master, and they provided 36 pages, and it was like Alice's Restaurant because they had pictures with explanations on the back and arrows and all this other stuff to it. And, of course, they put out that picture that is now the picture seen around the world of classified documents just on the floor in Mar-a-Lago. Why did they do that?
Because they're trying to try this case in the media instead of getting this resolved how it should have been resolved, which is through a negotiation between the Office of Former Presidents and with the bureaucrats of the National Archives. What is missing from this this response by the government is that they don't understand the law as it relates to former presidents and former presidents' classified material and storage of presidential records. The president has the absolute constitutional power to declassify anything he wants for any reason he wants, and he doesn't need any bureaucrat's permission to do it. He has the statutory power, the sole statutory power under the Presidential Records Act to determine whether something is a presidential record that belongs to the National Archives and gets sent back to the former president's library, or it's a personal record. President Trump had declassified personal copies of records in the presidential library in Mar-a-Lago, or presidential office in Mar-a-Lago, and he had every right to have these. The Congress provides former presidents with federally funded staff. The former president and the staff have security clearances. They have secure office space or SCIFs. They have Secret Service protection. So there's no way these records could have gotten into the wrong hands. There's no allegation that they could have gotten into the wrong hands. Unlike Hillary Clinton's server, who was not the president and will never be the president, she had an illegal home server in her home. As Secretary of State, it had our most classified material, and it was hacked by foreign governments. No home raid. This is an unprecedented, unnecessary, unlawful home raid of a former president, and they did this clearly because President Trump declassified and took a copy of the Crossfire Hurricane records, which are so damning, politically damning, for Obama, Biden, Hillary, Susan Rice, Jim Clapper, the DNI, the FBI, the Intel Committee.
So they took a calculated risk here, because now that they have those records, you know they never see the light of day. They're gone, right? Unless Trump has copies somewhere, they're gone. The first thing is that clearly they have an informant. They have a human, confidential human source inside the president's home. Wrong?
Well, I mean, it sounds like there's someone who could have been an informant. But again, they're investigating non-crime here. It is not legally possible for a president to violate the Espionage Act for how he handles classified material. He has constitutional authority separate from statutes, separate from regulations. That's confirmed by a 1988 Supreme Court case, Department of Navy versus Egan. And the president, there's a Presidential Records Act that applies directly to the president and his records. And that trumps every other statute on the books related to government records and property. This is a non-crime, and it's legally impossible for President Trump to have obstructed investigations into these non-crimes. This is a political fishing expedition to get politically damaging documents back from Trump.
Right. But my point is if they have a confidential informant inside Mar-a-Lago, that in and of itself, it seems to me to be a huge breach of, I don't know if it's a breach of law, but I can't imagine that that's an okay thing to do, to spy on a former president, although they spied on him through his entire campaign, so they probably don't care. But to get these documents back, they clearly felt it was worth the risk. So what happens now? Does Trump, do we ever see those documents, or has the DOJ and the FBI won here? Did they win by doing this because they know nothing's going to happen to them?
Well, we'll find out tomorrow whether Judge Cannon down in the Southern District of Florida moves forward with their inclination to appoint a special master in this case. The FBI, the DOJ saying, oh, don't worry about it. We got it handled. We've already looked at these. It's all good. We don't need a special master. Well, what are they hiding? Why are they concerned that an Article III judge will appoint an independent, neutral, special master to look at these documents to make sure that the DOJ has not hid these documents or mishandled these documents or misclassified these documents? Let's let a neutral arbiter do this. Remember, this is the Biden Justice Department. There's a series of leaks and lies in this case that seriously calls into doubt the ability of the Justice Department to be honest and objective in this case. Attorney General Merrick Garland leaked out to Newsweek that he did not personally approve this raid. That was a lie. They leaked out that Trump had nuclear documents. That was a lie. They leaked out that President Biden and the Biden White House didn't have any involvement with this. That was a lie. He waived executive privilege to President Trump, paving the way for this unprecedented home raid of a former president. So they don't have a good track record. They went to a biased judge, this magistrate judge, Bruce Reinhart, who was clearly conflicted, who recused from Trump's civil lawsuit versus Hillary on June 22nd, yet somehow this bias went away when he colluded with the Justice Department to order this home raid.
But I guess my question is, we keep talking about the special master. First of all, who appoints the special master?
It would be appointed by Judge Cannon, an Article III judge.
Okay. So hopefully she knows the special masters that are not biased, because otherwise you could wind up with a special master who is biased against Trump, and then we're back where we started. If the FBI and the DOJ, who are going through all these papers, they're going through everything, they're seeing everything that Trump had, even though they say, oh, no, our taint team has gone through this. We're not seeing anything that's attorney-client privilege, wink, wink, nod, nod. What's to prevent them from just taking the documents that they're looking for, spiriting them off, and then Trump goes, wait a minute, I had a whole bunch of stuff on Crossfire Hurricane, and they're like, no, you didn't.
They would have to represent to Judge Cannon that they didn't do this, which would put them in trouble for lying to a judge in a case. But I mean, I think your fear is well founded. I mean, there's not a good track record with this Justice Department and this FBI.
I don't understand how you prove that they took something if you don't have it to prove that it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to ask them, was the special master giving access to every record that you raided from President Trump? And they'd have to say yes. And if they tell Judge Cannon yes when they know it's no, you know, that's perjury.
True, but prove it.
I get that. I hear you. I mean,
playing devil's advocate.
This is why they don't want a special master. This is why they did this home raid. Look, these are not the original documents that Trump had. The original documents come from the intel sources. So it's not like he had the only copy and they desperately needed these back. And there's also no allegation or evidence that these were going to get out there. Remember, the Presidential Records Act contemplates that former presidents have classified records. That's why it doesn't distinguish between classified and unclassified. That's why Congress gives the staff the security clearances, the secure space, the Secret Service protection. This was a political fishing expedition to get these records. They sought, the Biden Justice Department sought 8 years of presidential records. That is an illegal general warrant on its face. This is a Fourth Amendment violation where they raided President Trump's home without probable cause that a crime was committed and without doing less intrusive means before they go to the nuclear option, pun intended, of a home raid. It was a fishing expedition. It was an unreasonable search.
Right. But again, I guess the argument is, well, if he had just turned everything over like he was supposed to, and his lawyer signed that affidavit saying that he had turned over all the confidential information, but then what do I see displayed? I see all this stuff marked classified, secret, top secret. They said they saved, all these top secret stuff. Some stuff was in a desk drawer. Some of the stuff was torn. So it sounds really bad, though.
Well, here's the issue. The president was not obligated to turn over these records. Again, under the Presidential Records Act, he had these records. He was entitled to keep these records. He had a declassified personal copy of these records. He didn't have to turn them over. If there was a mistake made by the lawyers, that it's a mistake. If the lawyer said that she did a diligent search and they found records later with 30 FBI agents raiding through the home, that doesn't mean that she lied. It could just mean she made a mistake. But again, there was no reason for this investigation in the first place. They're investigating non-crimes. And how does President Trump obstruct investigation into non-crimes where they're not even legally permitted to do these investigations in the first place? You can't just do roving investigations untethered to suspected crimes. There's not a legal chance that President Trump could have committed crimes here. Because again, the Espionage Act doesn't apply to presidents, and these government statutes that they're citing for government records are inapplicable. It's the Presidential Records Act that's applicable, and he has the right under the Presidential Records Act to keep these records.
So very quickly, in about a minute here, how does this affect Trump running in 2024? If that's what he chooses to do, can Republicans work their way through this and get this cleaned up, at least help him somewhat, in order to not have this hanging over his head?
I mean, President Biden would love to be talking about this from now until the next two elections, and so we can't talk about Biden's horrific record on the economy, on inflation, on crime, on everything else. Afghanistan foreign policy, our world's collapsing in on us. President Biden is incompetent in his leadership. But that being said, this is going to backfire. You know, they are going to solidify support behind President Trump, and if he runs again, he's going to win.
Yeah. Well, from your mouth to God's ear, I hope. Mike Davis, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Just a quick story. I don't know if you saw, but Bed Bath & Beyond announced today that they are going to be laying off about 20% of staff, and they're also closing about 150 stores across the country. And see, this is what happens. I stopped going to Bed Bath & Beyond because they got rid of Mike Lindell's MyPillow. And I thought that that was very political and, you know, get woke, go broke, because I love my pillow. And now, have you tried Mike Lindell's towels? Oh, they just don't dry either. They feel soft, but, you know, others' towels feel soft. You get them home, they don't absorb the water. But these towels actually absorb the water. They actually dry you off. They don't just push the water around on you. And Mike Lindell found that out in 06. He's like, this is just not working. Why can't I make a better towel? And so he's changed towels forever. They, usual towel companies, ones we always got up until then, they were importing them. They were adding softeners to them because they really weren't made with good cotton. They felt good, didn't work. So Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but they actually really work. They are all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Listen to this. Six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. Made with USA cotton, regularly $109.99, yours just for $39.99. It's insane. I mean, that is just an incredible, incredible deal. You will find the towels in the radio listeners' special square, along with all the other deep discount deals. The website's changed so much, you really should check it out. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on that radio listener special, and get these deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the amazing towels. Enter promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. I've got more coming up on the Todd Starnes Show. Walter sitting in for Todd Starnes. Don't forget, tomorrow, Thursdays, 7:15 Eastern Time, you can catch my podcast on YouTube and on Getter. If you look on YouTube, just search for Mary Walter Radio. It should pop right up. And if you're on Getter, just look for Mary Walter. And of course, if you miss it, no worries. You can just go back and watch older episodes or just watch it, older podcasts right there on YouTube. And it also stays up on Getter. You're going to just have to scroll to look for it. Now, I have to, because I know there's a member of the show that has an obsession about furry animals, specifically dogs. And a poll was done on behalf of Maytag. And they found that a 1 in 3 people take more photos of their pets than they do of their children.
Yeah, Mary, I got to agree with that one.
How did you know I was talking about you?
Yeah,
you know,
I was like, producer Kyle, turn on my mic. I think she's talking about me. My dog has a freaking Instagram, at Merlot the Dow, by the way, if anyone wants to follow her. So that is alone proof that I don't have a child. But what I can't even imagine. I'm like, man, I think I would take more photos of my child, though, than my dog. But I'm like, the fact that I have this many photos of my dog, I'm going to have to do like a wipeout of my phone like every freaking week. So I don't have, you know, full storage.
A survey of 2,000 dog and cat owners found that only 27% of respondents say they have more photos of their kids than their pet. And when it comes to pictures of their partner, only 16% have more pictures of their partner than they do of their pet.
Oh, I have more pictures of Merlo than my husband on my phone.
I know. My husband has more pictures of the cats than me. I know that. It's okay because they're adorable and cute. And I am sometimes just annoying. Nearly a third of pet owners claim they treat their pet like royalty.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A quarter of respondents have shown their pet love by throwing a party just for the pet.
Oh, I did that. For her first birthday, I did that.
Who did you invite?
Oh, it was just literally my family and my in-law. Yeah, my family in-laws, that was it. It wasn't like friends and stuff. It was literally just close family members. Somebody took a few pics. A friend took a few pics. That was about it.
Yeah, some of my when I was a kid, my mother used to throw a party for Dumplin, which was who was our dog.
Oh, that's and, so cute.
Oh, Dumplin weighed 98 pounds, and oh she was gosh. Like 98 pounds of stupid, and oh, but she was adorable.
Poor baby.
She just wasn't super smart. She was my father was
she
always
was
like
cute,
she was,
right.
She was dropped on her head as a puppy, oh. Right? Like, yeah, that's what we're going with. And so she used to do that. My mother would have birthday parties for Dumplin, and all of my friends would be invited to come to the party, and they would come because it was free food. So that's how my mother got people to the dog's birthday party.
I did have a cake.
My mother would have a cake as well.
Yeah, I had a human cake and a doggy cake.
Well, back in the day, they didn't make cakes just for dogs.
Oh, now so they've got bakeries. That's an easy thing to do.
Yep. Let's see. Do you have a tattoo of your
Oh,
of
no.
Merlo?
No tattoos. Okay. Definitely
All
not
right.
on my
One
dog.
In six have a tattoo. Pet parents say they don't feel complete when they're not near their pet. 52%.
Oh.
Does Merlo complete you?
You know, I will say when I've been gone for a couple hours, like at a friend's house, I just think, I'm ready to go home and see my dog. I wonder what she's doing. So definitely in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah, when we go away for like a week, we'll have little cameras we can see, and our neighbors will come in and feed the cats and everything. And we will sit there at night and watch all of the video from during the day. Oh, look, there's Oliver. Oh, there's Gracie. You know, like,
exactly.
Sit there and we watch them like two idiots, you know. Wow. So I think this means I need a life. I'm not 100% sure, but I think, yeah, that's what that means. Well, Grace, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah,
thank
no
you to
problem.
Todd for letting me sit in. And, of course, thank you to Kyle for being so amazing and wonderful. I appreciate that. And Chuck as well. Thank you guys so much for having me. Have a great week, everybody. And thanks for listening to the Todd Starnes Show.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.